Okay. Still, good morning, everyone. And I will try to generalize on some of our results as well as make some observations of opportunities and challenges we face with respect to curriculum developments and outreach activities. So, with respect to results for last year, first of all, we introduced a new master program, Russia in the Global Economy, targeted for foreign students who might be interested to come to our country, to our university, and the language of the program is English. Of course, it's much more comprehensive than just WTO-related issues, but still two courses at least, Russia in the System of Global Governance and Developments of Russian Foreign Trade, they are directly linked with WTO issues. With respect to our old program, International Trading System, we introduced three new modules directly linked to international trade, trade and development, energy security, and similar type of things. That's mine, sorry. With respect to outreach activities, we basically introduced a short-term training program on WTO for both policymakers and business representatives, and it varies in time and in some focuses, but the general umbrella is the following: WTO, how to work within the system of the WTO. Then, what is very significant for us, we started collaboration with University of Barcelona, and I'm really grateful to Ramon for that nice opportunity. And also, what should be mentioned, last year I, in a way, complained that when our MA students come to Geneva, they are treated as other students from Russian Federation, regardless of the fact that we are WTO chair. So, this year, the additional program has been elaborated for the study tour to Geneva, largely with the help of Visual Institute. And Lasta, thank you very much for helping us in that. And also, I have to apologize for not putting it on the slide. All in all, in terms of outreach activities, we participated in roughly 25 events. Sorry. I don't know why it. With respect to priorities, I would say that in terms of curriculum development, they are largely the same, and we are, as a department and the university in general, is interested in promotion of joint or double degree programs on a full-scale level, or at least step-by-step, as we do with University of Barcelona and some other partners like University of South California. In terms of outreach activities, the very significant thing was the completion of negotiations on Russian accession to the WTO, and the experienced already starting from autumn last year an avalanche of requests for WTO-related seminars or consultations. And here I would like to mentions, especially the issue which we discussed yesterday, language. In our case, it is obvious that we have to provide with seminars and consultations both in our native language, in Russian, and in English as well. In particular, your humble servant in 2011 participated, I just calculated, in 12 events, roughly fitting the definition of outreach activities. Out of that 12, 7 was in English. This year, similar type of thing, again, myself participated in 14 events and 6 of them in English, because representatives of international business community, they are very very keen to know what might be the prospects of Russian accession, whether it's good or bad for their specific industry, for their specific company. And we have to meet this demand in this or that way. And also representatives of Russian business community as well as authorities at the regional level, largely they are interested to know, and we organize events for them. Sorry. It's so significant that each notion should be repeated at least twice. With respect to opportunities, well, thanks to what we did and thanks to the support of the WTO, knowledge about our WTO chair gradually spreads around the country, around the city at least, and that facilitates and promote our image, so we have more attention from media. And in that case, the question which we basically have to ask ourselves, should we still pay for radio programs? In particular, last year and first year of the program, we signed a contract with one of the leading broadcasting companies, basically the most serious broadcasting companies in St. Petersburg, and they asked, well, okay, if you would like to come, you have to pay. Now probably we will be able to renegotiate, assuming the significance of what we do and significance of WTO accession for Russian society in general. And also it gradually helps to strengthen links between business and policymakers, and that makes easier for us to fulfill WCP objectives. So. As for the opportunities, the next thing I would like to mention is the fact that we managed to win the contest organized by our so-called Free Economic Society, Russian Free Economic Society, in association with a respective committee of Russian Parliament, and we got the title of Best Russian Economic Department in 2011 in the nomination of external economic activities, because there are other nominations as well, accounting, finance, and things like that. Anyhow, as a result of that, we might expect greater demand for academic programs offered by our university and our department in particular on WTO-related issues. And due to demographic trends, the situation nowadays is really competitive. The number of those who graduate from secondary school and from universities is decreasing substantially, and universities are competing. As for the challenges, as I already said yesterday, our team is too small to serve all requests, and well, we have to work really hard in addition to all our activities, which we also have to fulfill in this or that way. And also what I also mentioned yesterday, competition from the side of large consulting companies. And their advantage here is huge resources and more substantial links, better links with business community, and we have to fight to get this niche. And the last thing, which is also not on the slide, unfortunately, but it came to my mind on the basis of the reports made by the colleagues, and I have to admit that we have to modernize our website, which so far the do not use sufficiently enough. So that basically brings me to the end of my presentation, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much,
Oh, yes.
Sergei, this is something, this prize that perhaps we can attribute to the WTO Chairs program. I'd like to give the floor, thank you very much, to Ali Amadou Mbaye from the Sheikh Anta Diop University in Senegal.
Thank you very much, Gerardo. The PowerPoint I'm going to present is in French, so please allow me to make my presentation in French. Donc voilà très rapidement les objectifs du programme La Chaire. en termes de formation et de dissémination. D'abord, il s'agit de renforcer les capacités analytiques et institutionnelles en matière de formulation de politique commerciale, maîtrise des mécanismes du système commercial international, constitution d'une masse critique d'experts en négociation commerciale multilatérale, aussi bien au Sénégal que dans la sous-région, et renforcer les capacités des organisations régionales, UEMOA, CEDEAO, en matière de politique commerciale et de négociation commerciale multilatérale. Il faut dire que nous travaillons beaucoup avec les organisations, et surtout beaucoup plus avec l'UEMOA qu'avec la CEDEAO. Alors, nous avons mené un certain nombre d'activités. Il y a d'abord l'atelier sur le système commercial multilatéral et accès au marché des entreprises exportatrices Sénégal, qu'on a tenu du 12 au 13 décembre 2011. Il y a également la conférence qu'on a tenue sur les changements en cours dans l'économie mondiale, implications pour la croissance économique et les stratégies de sécurité alimentaire pour les pays africains, qu'on a tenu du 15 au 16 décembre 2011 en collaboration avec l'IFPRI. Il faut dire que depuis deux ans maintenant, l'IFPRI a ouvert un bureau régional à Dakar pour couvrir tous les pays africains. Et on est en train de développer beaucoup de partenariats en termes de recherche, en termes de dissémination, en termes d'organisation conjointe de conférences avec le bureau régional de l'IFPRI. Et donc, on a fait ce séminaire-là qui a vu aussi la participation des chercheurs de l'ISRA, c'est-à-dire des chercheurs du Centre de recherche en agronomie du Sénégal. On a tenu également un atelier sur les changements climatiques, le commerce du carbone et le développement en Afrique, avec en particulier le professeur Joachim von Braun, qui est le directeur du ZEF à l'Université de Bonn. Et ça a été un très grand succès. Nous avons co-organisé avec l'ambassade du Sénégal, ici à Genève, et le patronat sénégalais, un forum sur la compétitivité des entreprises sénégalaises. Et ce forum a été organisé à Genève. Je n'ai jamais compris pourquoi, même si je suis partenaire. Mais on était plus des partenaires techniques. Et donc, c'est le patronat qui avait insisté pour que ça soit fait à Genève. Et on est venu interagir avec le patronat sénégalais. Et je crois qu'on a parlé beaucoup d'interaction avec le secteur privé hier. Ça, c'est un cas concret d'interaction avec le secteur privé. Et je crois aussi qu'une des raisons pour lesquelles Genève a été choisie, c'est que une institution basée en Suisse, c'est l'HESSO de Genève, est partie prenante à ce partenariat. Il y a un collègue de l'HESSO de Genève qui vient séjourner au Sénégal pour une très longue durée, par des périodes de 3 mois, 4 mois, et travaille avec nous. On a également fait aussi une conférence sur Economic Issues of Climate Change and Implications for West Africa en octobre 2011. Et nous sommes également partie prenante à l'atelier sur African Platform for Development Effectiveness, qui est une initiative conjointement lancée par l'Union africaine, le NEPAD, mais également la commission de la CEDEAO. Il y a beaucoup de chaires dans la région africaine qui sont également partie prenante à cette manifestation. Nous avons essayé d'assister beaucoup d'universités, un certain nombre d'universités dans la sous-région, à développer leur propre programme en politique commerciale ou en relations internationales. Et nous avons fait cela avec le centre universitaire de Kindia en Guinée-Conakry. On a envoyé là-bas une mission qui a travaillé avec l'administration de cette université pour lancer ce programme. Et on a initié également des initiatives pour augmenter les capacités analytiques pour la formulation et l'évaluation des politiques commerciales dans cette université, la maîtrise des mécanismes du système commercial multilatéral, l'acquisition des connaissances juridiques sur le langage de la négociation internationale. Et ils sont assez avancés. Voilà la plaquette qu'ils ont préparée et ils ont même commencé à recruter. On est en train de faire maintenant la même chose avec la Guinée-Bissau. qui est un pays lusophone, mais qui entre de plus en plus dans le giron francophone. La Guinée-Bissau est un pays lusophone, mais il est un pays membre de l'UEMOA. Donc, ils sont dans les mêmes organisations que les autres pays francophones. Et il n'y a pratiquement pas de capacité en termes d'institutions universitaires dans ce pays. Et on est en train de développer des synergies avec nos réseaux régionaux pour mieux tirer ce pays. On a également fait quelques ateliers méthodologiques, ateliers sur les stratégies de diversification des exportations, animés par le professeur Steve Golub de Swarthmore College. L'atelier sur l'impact des politiques commerciales, animé par notre jeune collègue Lassana Chitoko, et qui utilisait les méthodes d'équilibre général, les modèles d'équilibre général calculables avec le logiciel GAMS. L'atelier sur l'informel, la pauvreté et l'immigration avec le professeur Jacques Charme de l'IRD. Le professeur Jean-Daniel Clavel, qui est HESSO, réside pratiquement à Dakar depuis un certain temps. Elle partage son temps entre Genève et Dakar. Et il a tenu beaucoup d'ateliers méthodologiques au profit de nos doctorants. Et il a également co-animé un séminaire de renforcement des capacités techniques, analytiques et institutionnelles pour la formulation de politiques commerciales et la maîtrise des mécanismes commerciaux multilatérales. Et on a eu la visite de Mustapha Sadnichalab à Dakar, et avec le professeur Clavel et d'autres collègues de la faculté. Ils ont servi comme personnes ressources pour ce séminaire. On a fait une session de formation sur l'utilisation des bases de données, 8 Stream Map, Market Access Map. Ça, ce n'est pas mis dans le slide, mais ça a été également une parfaite collaboration avec l'Institut virtuel de la CNUSED. Et là-bas aussi, je voudrais m'arrêter pour dire un grand merci à notre ami Vlasta. Atelier sur le système commercial multilatéral, accès au marché des entreprises exportatrices, ça c'est pour vraiment le secteur privé, et ça a été animé par le professeur Clavel. Pour finir, je vais partager avec vous un schéma pour montrer un peu comment est-ce qu'on est organisé. Dans le domaine de la formation, il y a un master en économie et un master en gestion orienté vers les relations économiques internationales, donc aider les entreprises à exporter. Dans le domaine de la recherche pour la gestion de la chaire, il y a le CREA pour la recherche en économie et le CREG pour la recherche en gestion. Maintenant, on a mis en place un laboratoire, ce n'est pas mis ici dans le schéma, mais qui s'appelle LABOCOM, Laboratoire de politique commerciale, et qui centralise la quasi-totalité de nos activités dans le domaine de la recherche et de la formation. Donc c'est un laboratoire transversal à ces trois piliers qu'on a représentés dans ce schéma. Merci beaucoup, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Ali, for the presentation. I'd like now to give the floor to our colleague Michael Lee-Win Chow from the National University of Singapore. You don't have a PowerPoint? As you are most welcome.
Well, I know I am one of the last speakers, and therefore I shall try to be as brief as possible. But allow me to share with you my thoughts about outreach. And I agree with Bradley that outreach, training, teaching, research go hand in hand. But how should we understand this outreach? And one of my favorite stories is the story of the Little Prince. Yeah, this is a story of this little prince who comes from the stars, and he meets a fox. And he meets a fox, and he tells the fox that he likes a fox. Fox is quite cute, and the fox likes the prince. And the fox looks at the prince and says, "Please tame me." And the little prince says, "I want to very much, but I have not much time. I have friends to discover and a great many things to understand." The fox then replies, "One only understands the things that one tames. Men have no more time to understand anything. They buy things already made at the shops. But there is no shop anywhere where one can buy friendship. And so men have no more friends. If you want a friend, the fox says, please tame me. What must I do to tame you, said the little prince. You must be very patient, said the fox. First you will sit down at a little distance from me, like that in the grass. I shall look at you, and out of the corner of my eyes, and you will say nothing. Words are the source of misunderstanding. But you'll sit a little closer to me every day. I shared this in a dialogue session last year at the WTO Senior Policy Dialogue for Officials, which is one of our major outreach programs at the Center for International Law for the WTO chairs. Of course, I got back a feedback saying academics were too academic. So obviously, I wasn't very good in taming. But I think it does sum up my thoughts on this. In order to outreach, one must develop trust, one must develop an understanding of the other person as well. So one major aspect of the outreach has been using our networks, using the websites, using conferences, dialogues to understand both sides. In 2011, in October, along with the launch of the WTO chair, we also launched the first Singapore senior official dialogue on WTO issues. At the WTO chair launch, our chairs from China, Vietnam, and Indonesia were able to join us, and we talked about the future of the WTO. The dialogue then focused upon Doha issues and emerging issues following from the current issues facing the WTO. The feedback for this dialogue was very useful because we were able to bring in mostly people, director, deputy permanent secretary, and even some permanent secretaries to attend the dialogue in Singapore. There was a very high level of interaction, a fair amount of thinking on the issues, and we have compiled a report about this particular thing, though it is, by its very nature, subjected to the Chatham House rule, and no attribution was done for this report. So that's one aspect, the idea that we need to build up forums for communications. Second, as part of the efforts to also strengthen the region and the regional's capacity in academic endeavors and scholarship in international trade law, the Center for International Law also is hosting the Society for International Economic Law this year in about 2 weeks' time. Some of you will be joining us, and I look forward to that. For the first time in the Society for International Economic Law, we are having a WTO chairs panel. This panel will showcase to many of our academic contemporaries the WTO chairs. And again, the issue is the future of the WTO. And this is a pressing issue. We face significant challenges institutionally, and the need to have a dialogue to understand, to tame this issue becomes increasingly important. Beyond that, looking forward to 2013, we're looking at potentially, as I said yesterday, two conferences, one on transparency and one on food security. Now, that's the outreach side. You will notice, as I said before, that all of these outreach tended to be out of Singapore. Well, two reasons for that, of course. One, Singapore is a very small country, 30 miles by 40 miles, looking like a triangle or a diamond. I could stand in one corner and talk, and everybody would just pass me by easily. I don't need to go to the countryside. There is no countryside. Second, as I said before, yesterday, most Singaporeans are convinced of the value of free trade. I say during the 2007-2008 financial crisis, the GDP of Singapore dropped by 10%, thereby highlighting the interconnectedness of Singapore to the trade network. Of course, don't cry for us. It was a drop from $45,000 per capita to $40,000 per capita, so there's still a lot of fat, and it's come back up to $58,000 in last year. So there's a lot of real empirical evidence of Singaporeans about the value of free trade for Singapore. It's almost become a mantra, a religion in Singapore, that this should be exported then to the region. And this is how we see ourselves regarding outreach. That Singapore, having been blessed with many opportunities, many advantages, should therefore then share in some of these thoughts, blessings, principles, ideas with the rest of the region. So therefore the dialogue was a regional dialogue with the Asia-Pacific region. SIEL is a global thing. The WTO chair's panel at this dialogue will be coming from the western side of the hemisphere, in particular the South America, with Felipe joining us. We will have people from Africa, represented by Verena, and then we will have from the Caribbeans, represented by Keith and me, there answering these questions. We also look forward for the transparency and food security issue to expand these issues into the regional areas to understand how best to deal with these issues regionally. Now, let me move on quickly to teaching. The WTO chair hasn't changed much for teaching in the law school. As I said before, Singapore has always been a promoter of WTO issues, and since 2001, in the law school, we've always had a WTO course. In fact, some years we have two. We also then hosted the RTPC from 2007 to 2010. The only difference is next year we are doing a new course called Trade and Investment Disputes, looking at sort of the intersection between the WTO rules and the rules on investment, the BITs, the NAFTA Chapter 11 sort of cases. The reason why we're doing this is twofold. One, we see an increasing trend of fragmentation of forums dealing with this issue. We saw this with a Mexico soft drinks case. And we see that the increased signatories in the Asia region to BITs and investment agreements will inevitably bring debt, which North America faced, to Asia very soon. We've also been a great supporter of the RTPC in India now in 2011 and hope to continue supporting it in 2012 and onwards. We've also supported activities of UNCTAD, ARTNET, UNSCAP. Strangely enough, they've invited me often to do trade investments and trade in services, suggesting that they too see this issue developing in Asia. We've also done third country training in Singapore with the WTO for the region. And I note also that, and this is important, we've been able to export our teaching to other countries. We're developing in the center various different online syllabus materials. We've already done this for the arts and economic community. I did this for the WTO law, slightly funded by the European Union and the Netherlands government in the province of Aceh in Indonesia, and most recently with investment law. And you can just, you know, pictures say 1,000 words, and you can see some of the pictures that we have down here regarding the Aceh course, and of course the launch of the Singapore chair and the dialogues that occurred after that. One good thing that we've done over the years is to list on our website the various different activities and to put materials down here. I think this is a good thing if you can have a good website, because the ability for people to look and see what we've done over the years has become a very crucial aspect of taming the situation. There is a lot of understanding of where we're coming from and understanding of where we are going through a looking of our activities in the past. So that's it, and I welcome any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Let's go to our last chair, Dr. Vu from the National University of Vietnam.
Thank you very much. Let me elaborate some point on our outreach activity that we've been doing in Vietnam, and this has been discussed over the last 2 days, and many people raised the issue about whether we are too ambitious to engage the government with our small scope and research, how to bring research to policy and how to make it relevant and influence policy or maybe can change policy. And another issue is how to reaching out to other target audience like a student and other non-government thing. So my point is based on experience from Vietnam and in what we have been doing in the last 2 years, I think bringing research to policy is not easy. But perhaps sometimes it's impossible. And then Vietnam had some good example of how good research, relevant, policy-relevant good research can influence policy and eventually lead to some change in policy. We have a good example on the tax compliance time, many other things that I'm listing here. I don't have time to tell you the story. But one that's related to trade regulation is story that the government abolishes the state monopoly on rice export about 15 years ago. At that time, fertilizer import and rice export was managed by a few state monopoly companies. And the issue is where the farmer get benefits of this, whether we need to abolish this state monopoly. So this always arguing for a year. And then we had a good research by a small team. They do like analysis distribution profit. Today they work on this value chain analysis and find out that net profit was shared is very uneven among the state monopoly and the farmer. The farmer get only 40%, while a few state monopoly get 66%. And at the same time, all the state monopoly get a lot of support from government, interest, subsidy, credit, and the government policy is to support the farmer. So when we read this story and bring this story with credible analysis, everybody can oh, you have to do something. And it lead to the policy chain of allowing the private company to enter the market. This story is maybe it's not so simple. This complicated process of chain, but this is one of contribution that if you have a good research evidence base, you can influence. So I have many other example like this. And in Vietnam, we have now so-called implementing the concept of policy action research. So the research should be based on policy and make an action, not that academic or this good, but bring into the action. That many good example and some group of donor and government is doing now, they call the policy action research. And have been some good cases in this experiment. But having said that, I think I agree with most of you that it's not easy to apply this example to generalize thing to all of cases, and especially to our the WTO chair. But we can learn some lesson, and in some cases, given flexibility and a good strategy, we may apply. So one of the lessons learned that the research topic should be policy relevant. That you know, we learned this one is relevant to the policy maker. Yesterday there's a lot of discussion about whether demand driven or not. But at least you know, if you want to influence the policy, the topic should be chosen, you know, together with them. Secondly, you know, it has to be evidence based. That's why we got a lot of data. A lot of you know evidence, the survey, and also you know the data that share and agreed by all of us, the government and research community. We heavily invested in collecting data. That's one of the things you know, is a serious shortage in Vietnam. And one of you know our output is to create it and compiling you know the data set that can share and to researcher. Then we have to work with the government agency through different channels. One of the things that you know you can organize a seminar and agree with zone that you know maybe you have a seminar, but you know you don't have the people you targeted to come, especially in the government official, right? So you miss out this very important audience. To deal with this, we need to then with this, you know, with the government agency. That's why we work with research government research organization, because they have an internal kind of system, easy to mobilize these people within the government, came to you know, workshop and seminar rather than to university to like. You know, the case of the zone that you know you came to them, but through different channels. That's why we team up with research institute at the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, and also we work with the foreign the investment agency that dealing with the foreign investment. So through this channel and bringing them from the beginning. It's not just you know sharing the result, but you know bringing them on the outset of the doing research together, so to get the ownership feeling from the government officials. The second channel that we using now, and I think quite useful, is using the existing policy forum. There is not many other forum created, you know. Before and without you know our WTO chair program, I think about UNDP working with the Economic Commission of the National Assembly, because you know the assembly in Vietnam is quite powerful, but you know a lot of people there working part time, they not when informed about many things happening, and then you know there is a policy forum to. Bring in research and discussion with them. So we work with them. That's one of the we work with them. We're using this platform, bringing our you know, research and participate in this one. So using this you know kind of existing policy forum and get into this you know big you know policy discussion. That's an easy way for us, even you know our small grant and small scope of this one, but you can use it effectively. And obviously this is about how to send the message, right? It's a policy briefing that's you know, very important, because most of our work quite you know complicated. The number you know the equation is not you know understood by most of the government agency, so we had someone to work with that on sending this message, you know, very simple. So one example, you know, we work on the myth of trade deficit, that, you know, very simple, no equation, but, you know, there's some two or three points that send out about why you misunderstood about the trade deficit, how you deal it with or not dealing with this. For example, the government believes that you know that we have a trade deficit because we import a lot of luxury goods, by luxury or so, they imposing the tariff, they using the foreign exchange and requirement to try to stop. But it didn't work. So using this research, but sending a very simple kind of message would help. So this is most of what we have been working and lesson learning, try to apply for our research to bring in the government agency and try to influence policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Sir Vu.